and someone asked him a relevant question to their business, and you could see him work all of the options through his mind. He didn't just gut feel answer, you know, just to get rid of the person. You could see, in actual fact, he went back to her and said, listen, I forgot about this. And that's amazing.
And oftentimes we get stuck on this term imposter syndrome, and I know I've been stuck on it as well, but it's actually just a lack of confidence. And a lack of confidence comes from the fact that you haven't done something enough to have a lot of confidence to keep doing it, or to do it with ease, or to do it with your eyes closed.
I asked her, listen, how did you do it? She said, energy. Just positive energy, get stuff done. Only afterwards, in retrospect, she realized she had influence over some people to change their behavior.
You're at the right place. Last week, Daniel Priestley was the headline speaker at the Suits and Sneakers main event in Johannesburg and Cape Town. It was a phenomenal week of events, and big congrats to Mark Sham and the team for pulling it off. Getting to meet and interact with Daniel was absolutely amazing. My guest today, Jordan Jacobs, did that too in Johannesburg. And he's no stranger to the Right Place podcast, as he was a previous guest in 2024. Today, it's my turn to check in with the co-founder and director of Scale Up Partners and reflect on what we learned from Daniel last week. Welcome, Jordan. It's great to talk to you today.
Thanks, John. Thanks for the opportunity. It was a great event, and we can spend probably weeks unpacking everything.
Today, we want to give listeners three key actions we learned from Daniel, specifically related to the work that you do with Scale Up Partners in scaling businesses, and the work that I do in helping business owners connect with confidence and network a little bit better. Jordan, what is your first key action you learned from Daniel when it comes to scaling your business?
So just maybe from a contextual point of view, Scale Up Partners is we scale businesses that support the founders to actually hand over their business and grow their business in a sustainable manner without overwhelming themselves or their teams. And I think that backdrop sets us into the first thing. So Daniel spoke a lot about AI specifically, and we utilize AI, we recommend AI. But if I can highlight that element, is tech is a bicycle and not a burden. He put in his slideshow, put a guy on a bicycle and a guy running. And he said, well, my take on it was the person or the organization that uses technology to their utmost advantage can go, let's take effort. With the same amount of effort as the runner, they can go 10 times further or 20 times or whatever the case might be. Or if speed is the target that you want, then you'll get there 10 times faster. And we actually, unfortunately, we see this in a lot of businesses. So we work with the SME market, which we term the missing middle in South Africa. It's not JSE listed organizations, nor is it startups. And all of them, they sort of stuck on and Lego built their software elements. So they pull from different databases, they pull from here, they get something in the cloud there. And then there's one insanely genius person pulling it all together in an Excel sheet. So we believe weaving not just AI, but technology and software and automations into your operation system is not just a tool stack. It actually sets a foundation of doing the same thing, either better or more things with the same amount of effort. And businesses miss that. And it goes from understanding your client or your customer's pain points to automations within your organizations. There is a myriad of things. But saying that, and I'm an advocate of using technology, is don't take technology and go and find a problem to solve. If there's a problem and technology fits it, make them marry each other. Don't take tech or AI specifically, as this is a very topical point at this stage. Don't take that and go and find a problem to solve quick or automate something. Understand your business, understand the need, and then weave that as part of your strategy going forward. And I'll loop back in some of the other points. I'll loop back to some components there. But I, I do urge, and Daniel also mentioned it, didn't say it's the only thing, but he says, act on it as a matter of urgency. And I truly believe, doesn't matter how established your business is, go and evaluate. Do you have legacy systems that you stick together and weave through the spider web of databases? Or are you actually conscious and intentional to have the right systems in the right place, doing the right things with the right people owning them? Once you get that resolved, yes, you'll probably have the parallel streams running for a short interim, but then that just sets the foundation for you to scale.
100% sure, Don. I think that's a great one to kick off with. And I think my encouragement to the businesses is just spend a couple of minutes a day looking at how you're using technology, how you can use technology better. And if you don't know what to do next or how to use something, ask for help. Ask ChatGPT for help. Find a video on YouTube. Ask a friend. Speak to your Don at ScaleUp Partners. There is so much help available. Don't think you have to go by yourself. But I really think this is a year to scale up how you use technology, because that is how you can unlock time to focus on more productive things, and also how you can start getting out of your own way. It's really time for businesses to modernize. And that might be the thing that just kicks you off into the right direction. And I mean, Daniel Priestley is a perfect example of this. I mean, when he started, he didn't just have all the AI tools that are available now. He started in the early 2000s building businesses and things like that. AI wasn't even a thing. But it's amazing to see how he's embraced it over time and created tools that use AI and are helping business owners specialize and nail down their niche and what they need to do to grow their business. So yeah, that's a very excellent start to our conversation today. My first one is related to connecting the dots and more on the networking side. Actually came out of the Q&A session. So after Daniel's presentation about being oversubscribed and the 7 points that he raised, there was a Q&A session. And the title for my first one is Don't Confuse Imposter Syndrome with a Lack of Confidence. So in the Q&A, a lady asked Daniel about imposter syndrome. And Daniel actually dismantled her question, and it turned it around to say that she just needs a lot more confidence in what she does. And oftentimes we get stuck on this term imposter syndrome, and I know I've been stuck on it as well, but it's actually just a lack of confidence. And a lack of confidence comes from the fact that you haven't done something enough to have a lot of confidence to keep doing it, or to do it with ease, or to do it with your eyes closed. So Daniel was talking about reaching confidence intervals of 30 times, 150 times, and 1,000 times of doing something. If you haven't done something 30 times, you haven't practiced it enough. You haven't tried it enough. You haven't put yourself out there enough. Once you get to 30 times, then you've reached a certain level of confidence, and it's the first confidence interval that exists. So bringing us back to networking, if you're scared of networking, if you don't have confidence in talking to people, you need to practice. You physically need to do networking, talking to people, and build up your confidence in just having one-on-one conversations or putting yourself out there in a group or standing up at an event and telling them what you do. Once you've actually done the work, you will have more confidence. It's not that you are not deserving or no one wants to hear you or anything like that. So all of that is absolute nonsense. You just have a lack of confidence. The confidence is going to come when you practice, when you put yourself out there. So when you're meeting people, putting yourself out there, networking, keep doing the reps. Doing the thing is doing the thing. So if you have a lack of confidence, keep trying. If you don't know where to start, give me a call and we'll sort it out. Yo, Don, what's your second key action when it comes to scaling businesses?
So John, I think that confidence interval we took at heart as well. We see founders not wanting to move before they are ready. And Daniel also said, move and become ready as you go. And specifically networking, people shy away from it. So just go out, have a conversation. Love that. I think the second one for me is something that we call along, well, we've been speaking about it internally, is that you can, the thought process and the thinking pattern that got you here is not what's going to get you where you want to be. So you need to disrupt yourself first before anything, external environments or anything, this disrupts you. Coincidentally, I read an article today and you actually touched on it, is optionality. Within businesses, you have this startup phase, you have this growth phase, and then just before sort of you reach the peak, you should create options for yourself to grow again. And I think that's an intentional thing that people need to latch onto. Disrupt themselves with, listen, taking a step back. There's a saying, you can't read the label from inside the jar. Get someone externally, come and evaluate, because you're in the center there. Get someone to evaluate. Listen, are we doing still the right thing? Are there different options? Get people from other industries, people that have made it. We are a firm believer in sharing our story. Because just that one thing, listen, I can connect with them. They've maybe bridged that thing, or they've already made it. Let me connect with them. Let me learn from them. So we firmly believe, change your mindset about the things. Get information, get new information. Mark Sham actually said it in one of the Q&As. I can't remember with which one, is change your inputs. Because changing your inputs changes your outputs. Listen to a different podcast. Listen to the Right Place podcast as a start. Listen to an economic one, just so that you can get new inputs that can stimulate new thinking, disrupt yourself, take a new route to your offices or to a client. You previously, we've spoken, instead of going to the normal coffee shops, go do the meetings on a hike or at a hotel reception or something different. And in your business, that disruption might just spark a bigger ripple effect within the business. And then you can start seeing people taking innovation. Disrupt yourself before the external environment disrupts you or your clients disrupt you. And then we also believe, start at the top. Disrupt the founders, disrupt the CEOs, disrupt them, and that will filter down.
100%, Jordan, I really like that one. I think disrupting yourself is something that we should be getting used to, because we need to be more adaptable. You can't disrupt yourself once a year and have a strat session like you normally do. You need to be disrupting yourself almost on a weekly basis. What can we do differently to spark different conversations? If you change your environment, you change the conversations. If you change how you do your meetings, if you change when you do your meetings, you disrupt the conversations. And disruption isn't a bad thing. It's a good thing. It's good when something is slightly different. It doesn't mean it's wrong. It doesn't mean it's bad or it's weird or anything like that. It just means it's different, and different is good. Because again, difference leads to different conversations, different atmospheres for things to happen, different ways of figuring out problems that your business might be struggling with, especially when you're going through the scaling phase. Doing everything like you did last month or last year isn't going to pay dividends in the future. Exactly. So you really need to think about, hey, what can we do slightly differently this week? And especially now coming into springtime, it's a perfect time for trying some new things and exploring where it might lead you. Listen to some different podcasts, reading some different books. If you're just listening to stuff or consuming stuff that you agree with, you're actually not learning. You're just giving yourself a pat on the back, which is a very shallow thing to do. So I really encourage listeners to disrupt themselves, and this is the perfect season to do that. And in line with that, I mean, my second one here is maximize your knowledge, reputation, and network. And we just spoke a little bit about that now, about maximizing your knowledge in terms of what you're reading and what you're consuming. Well, when it was my turn to ask a Q&A question to Daniel Priestley at the Suits and Sneakers main event, I first told him nice jacket, because he also had a pale blue jacket on. And then I asked him what had networking meant to him in his career and what his approach had been as he got more and more famous and well-known. So he shared a story that I've actually heard before on a previous podcast or appearance that he made, about when he arrived in London and he set up a private dinner with some key people, and he did it in a very smart way, and it paid dividends for many years to come, and he's still connected to many of those people. But what I want to focus on is that he started then talking about maximizing your knowledge, reputation, and network. These are your three biggest assets: what you know, what people think about you, and also then the people that you know around you. These are the three things that can serve you very well throughout your life. So Daniel started small. He wasn't born famous. he was doing his thing in Australia and he got some traction and started doing bigger events and everything. And then he eventually moved to London, where his career has taken off and his big businesses have taken off as well. But he's clearly been intentional about networking, like immediately when he arrived in London. He now has a close confidant in Stephen Bartlett from Diary of a CEO, where he's been a guest 6 times, which I think is probably a record for the number of appearances on probably one of the world's best podcasts. And next month, he's hosting 30 entrepreneurs on Necker Island, which is Sir Richard Branson's private island in the Caribbean. I mean, that's just absolutely insane. And I mean, this is the person that we were talking to a few days back in Johannesburg and Cape Town. So it's incredible to have access to these types of people and just to hear them talk about how they approach things. And I think it can be really, really strategic. The thing for me is you must network. You must maximize your visibility in front of the right people so that they can see you as a person of value and that you can grow to be a key person of influence, which is also one of the names of one of Daniel's books. There's no shortcut here. It's the same as there's no shortcut to scaling your business, but there are clever things that you can do to accelerate. And I just noted 3 of them here, which is be active on LinkedIn. People think LinkedIn is dead. Well, there's lots of people doing really, really cool things on LinkedIn. So be active on LinkedIn. Try and get on a podcast or two. Support your friends that are running podcasts and share your knowledge widely. This gets you out there. This creates content for you, and this gets people familiar with who you are. Number 2 is host private dinners with key people in your network. Good old-fashioned networking at a private dinner, a paddle game, a golf game, or Saturday morning run will always, always serve you well. So keep doing those basic things. If you're not sure how to do it, again, there's so much content out there about how to host these things. And again, when you host it, you're the captain of that event or that thing that you put together. There's a lot of attention on you that you can then maximize. And then join paid for networking groups of like-minded people, like Suits and Sneakers, like the Lacquer Network, where you can network up. You can meet people that are slightly ahead of you in terms of scaling their business, growing their presence overseas. And that's where you elevate the conversations that you have. If you're just networking with people exactly like you in the same season with the same revenue per annum, you're never going to scale your business properly. You're never going to network up. You need to be talking to people a couple of levels above you that you can start hearing how they are doing it, what they are using, who's who in that zoo, and where they are focusing their time, effort, and energy as well. So those are a couple of things that I picked up from Daniel there. What are your thoughts on that, Jordan?
John, it's such a valuable thing to leverage what you already have. Don't try and create new things. Start with family. Pitch your idea, your business, what you do to them first. They're going to tell you straight up what it's like. Then move one tier beyond that. The people that you've already worked with. Listen, does this sound like me? I firmly believe in being intentional about our actions and be intentional about networking up. There's such a critical moment. I'll share a quick story. Yesterday, we went to the shopping center with my kids and we saw someone that's not relatively exceptionally famous. And I told my wife and kids, listen, the daddy's going to be a little bit weird now, but I'm going to walk to them. Walked, struck up a conversation. We have a coffee date next week. But having that confidence and putting yourself out there is, I mean, everyone is just people first. And I think I'm addicted to people and understanding people and connecting with them and leveraging those that we already have is a safe space to start. So in a very long tail, fully agree.
100% you don't know. That's a great example. And like my first one was about the confidence. Just doing these small little things intentionally every single day is going to build that confidence. And you never know. You're just like one conversation away from changing your business, changing your mindset, changing your whole trajectory for your life, your personal life, your professional life as well. And I mean, the opportunities are there. The opportunities are there. And there are other people that are grabbing those opportunities. And you can't be upset with them for their success. They've been intentional. They're grabbing opportunities. They're putting themselves out there, as uncomfortable as it might be to do that. It's one of the best ways to scale your business and to grow your network as well. Now, Don, you've got one more final key action for us in terms of scaling your business. Tell me about that.
Daniel took a very chaotic mindset and just structured it. And it was fantastic to see his flow of thought. So everyone could follow from startup business to someone that's at a mature level. So let's park that up. But I think the last thing for me is something around that confidence level that you also touched on. People think we need to get this product, we need to get this service, we need to get this strategy perfect. I and Scalar Partners in the other hand says, seek progress, not perfection. So if I would title my last thought, it would be ship it 30%, that confidence interlevel. If you are nearly there, ship it. Because at the end of the day, the client or the customer is the ultimate CEO. You're not developing stuff in boardrooms. You're not, you are developing them there, but that's not where the value is. The value is in the feedback from your clients and your customers. Listen, is this little fidget thing that I made now, is it worth it? I actually saw ChatGPT release an email yesterday or 2 days back and said, listen, we've listened to our community. The paid membership is not a team space anymore. It's now a workspace. I mean, that's just taking that small little example, which a lot of our audience will have. That's what it is. They did something, released it. It wasn't perfect. They got complaints and then they iterated on that. Ship at 30% and then iterate and learn from the public up to 80% and above. They're going to tell you what works, what doesn't work. So again, if we loop back to the systems portion and the tech portion, be sure there are channels that you can receive this information. Just shoving product down customers' throats is not worthwhile. You need to engage with them. That famous person that I spoke to you about, it's a CEO of a large retail chain that was in the shop. That was in the retail shop, and I could see him speaking to different customers. Now, that's the type of feedback. And in global businesses, that would be a software-related element, and you need to create the channels. So don't be afraid to fail in the product. All it is, yes, people might not agree with it, but all it is, it gives you data to iterate on. If you wait for everything perfect and you argue and you converse in the boardroom, you're going to get a boardroom answer and you're going to get a mirror answer. You're not going to get what's actually needed out there. Summarize the very long story. Ship at 30% and iterate to market 80% and above. Move. We seek progress, not perfection. From personal development in Scalar Partners and personal development in business development, in structures in your business, we advocate for that. Do something, see if it works. And if you do something, you can get feedback from your employees, from clients, wherever you've shifted on, and then you iterate on that.
100% Jordan. I love this one because there's so much value that you can get out of just putting yourself out there. Even if it's not perfect, find five people to look at it and say, guys, please test this. What do you think of this? I mean, rather fail in front of five people than wait for perfection and fail in front of 55,000 people. And I think continuously testing the market, putting stuff out there, you're going to get rapid fire inputs. Ask your customers up front or ask them what else do they need or ask them a million different questions to help you. They are there to help you. So listen to them. If you're working in the shadows and you're working on some top secret stuff and you're hoping, oh, we're going to nail the market with this thing, I think you might be surprised when it goes wrong because you haven't talked to the right people. You haven't put yourself out. So ship at 30%, iterate, get it to 80% and just go for it. People will give you grace if you fail and you've approached them correctly. They'll say, hey, man, this didn't quite work. Let me spend some time with you and let's tweak this a little bit. And that is invaluable information. That's invaluable steps in the process of getting your stuff ready for market or ready for expansion or ready to scale around the world. I've seen this in practice as well with Darren Lee and the podcast coaching that myself and Rudolf went through. He was shipping stuff way before it was actually ready. You're building it in public and it was awesome to see because you're getting so much feedback and it puts pressure on the team to deliver, but it's good pressure because it's fun. It's exciting. Something is actually happening. When you haven't got this almost deadline about when you're actually going to launch, you just keep going and going and going. I mean, people lose their creative juice because there's no pressure. So I really think, just jumping out and doing it is sometimes the best way to go. Jordan, we're going to end off with my third and final key action, which is to use your mountain of stories. So Daniel said that everyone is standing on a mountain of stories, the good, the bad, the heartache, and the success. And he was saying that we must use our personal story to tell our business story and bring a human element to what we do and why it matters. And I mean, this is the same old thing that people have heard a million times, that the story sells the product, the story sells the service, and people will relate to your story. So get used to telling it, tell it well, and tell it often. So a case in point is myself. I mean, I coach introverts to be better at networking and have more confidence in connecting. I work with business owners as well. And I can only do this because I had to overcome my own personal limitations. I've been writing on LinkedIn for years and sharing my story on the podcast for years now with Rudolph. I mean, I was the quietest person you ever met. I thought I was a boring CIA. I couldn't relate to people that easily. I didn't have a lot of friends and I didn't know what value I had. Now, fast forward to today, and I have a vast experience in arranging networking events. I coach professionals to connect, have a podcast with Rudolph, met you through the podcast as well. I do great work with the Lacquer Network as well, with Rania and the team there, and I really, really enjoy that. And that's all to do with connecting people. 20 years ago, no one would have said I would have been doing this type of work. They would have said John was going to be sitting in an office all by himself and working like a CA. And so it's a complete 180 to me, but the only way I've been able to do this because I've been intentional about the work that I've done on myself, and I've embraced my story. I haven't shied away from my story. So I just want to encourage people that are out there struggling, know your story, embrace your story, be proud of your own story, because it's very unique to you. And the story has given you tenacity. It's given you interesting options that have come across your path in terms of your career and your personal life and that. And people want to know that story. And maybe there are some deep connections between your personal story and the business that you're building or the brand that you're associated with. So put that out there because that will help people relate to you. If people relate to you, they're going to buy from you. People buy from people at the end of the day. And I know, Jordan, I know a little bit about your story as well. And it's been an incredible story. And it's like perfectly set you up for your current journey with Scale Up Partners, right?
It has. John, we all have a story. And we need to own it. And that story might look bleak or not as exciting to you, but there's always a bigger fish in the pond. There's always something looking or someone looking for some inspiration. And when we did the Scale Up Choice seminars, both in Cape Town and in Johannesburg, it was about either two things. Either people get additional knowledge or they see, listen, someone's done it. It gives me the inspiration and the courage to do it as well. And I think just to maybe add on to that point is we need to understand we have influence. Doesn't matter how small you think it may be, you have influence. Authority and influence might not be the same thing, but you have influence. Just your energy. I had a conversation last week with a serial entrepreneur. She actually brought FedEx she started FedEx within South Africa. And she said, I asked her, listen, how did you do it? She said, energy, just positive energy, get stuff done. Only afterwards, in retrospect, she realized she had influence over some people to change their behavior. And we all have that. It's not unique to yourself, which just made a brilliant career out of that. Every one of us has a story to tell and we should own it.
100%, Jordan. No, this has been a great conversation. And I mean, I'm so grateful for Mark Sham bringing Daniel Priestley to South Africa. I mean, it's an incredible feat to pull this off, and just to be in the presence of Daniel was absolutely incredible. Watching how he interacts with people, watching how he tells stories or how he answers questions, I mean, there's a real human being behind the online persona or the person that you see on Diary of a CEO. Mark Sham and Jandre are definitely going to be releasing a whole bunch of video and footage from the events, and it'll be on the Suits and Sneakers platform as well. Jordan, thank you so much. It was a great chat today. Any last final thoughts on Daniel Priestley from your side?
On Daniel Priestley specifically, again, shout out to Mark and his team. Thank you, Mark. You did two fantastic events, just brilliant. On Daniel specifically, so at Scale Up Partners, we believe practice informed by science. And what was quite unique afterwards, I'm a silent collector of authors and signing their books. So I was there. Got my book signed, brought it with me. I was the only one, but anyway, I was there. And someone asked him a relevant question to their business. And you could see him work all of the options through his mind. He didn't just gut feel answer, you know, just to get rid of the person. You could see, in actual fact, he went back to her and said, listen, I forgot about this. And that's amazing. Just that thought process, you could see it's backed by experience. It's backed by data, together molded with some black magic intuition there, obviously, over the experience he has. And he was just a kind human being to everyone. Everyone is people first. And we need to own that and fall in love with the person.
Awesome, Yordan. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for your time today and the insight that you shared. Yordan, if people want to connect with you and learn more about Scale Up Partners, where's the best place to do that?
The ideal place to do that is follow me on LinkedIn and reach out to me there.
Excellent, Yordan. I appreciate that and appreciate you being a colleague and a friend as well. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for your support. Please connect with Yordan. Please follow Scale Up Partners as well. Please consider joining Suits and Sneakers as well and supporting Mark Sham as the guardian angel of small businesses in South Africa. Thank you, Yordan. Thank you for listening. And we will see you next time at the right place. Cheers.